And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing our Robin Dunn series. We are halfway done. And we are in, right?
halfway done.
And this is episode 25.
Yes.
We're doing The Skulls 2.
Yes.
If you didn't know there was a sequel to The Skulls, we found it.
And I think you'd be pleasantly surprised by it.
You can stream this on Stars if you're a Stars subscriber. Mm-hmm. Either that or you can buy it for, what, $2.99 on all your streaming services.
And the nice thing about Stars is you can get it through. It also partners up with a lot of the other services like Hulu or Amazon Prime and stuff like that, that you can subscribe to them and watch it that way or as a standalone app.
Correct. So we are going to drop this, but before that, we've got some messages, right?
Oh, yes, we do.
So, after these messages, we'll be right back, right?
Yep.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
ABC D-Bags. I'm Bradley D, and I'm with Tony B.
I'm Tony B. That's Bradley D.
Hear what critics are saying about the new podcast, ABC D-Bags.
I can't possibly see this failing in any way whatsoever.
I think this doesn't fail.
This is the one.
This is the one that doesn't fail. This is the one that turns us around.
The Los Angeles Times calls it the worst podcast ever.
Do we ever have a plan, Tony? We don't. Come on.
No, we don't plan. I mean, if anything anybody should learn by listening to this podcast is we do not plan anything.
Entertainment Weekly calls it shit.
We'll keep teaching you these ABCs in no chronological order whatsoever.
Good night.
Good night.
And the New York Times reviewer said, I had to review this podcast. Once I started listening, I slowly started going insane. Insane, I tell you. Insane. No one could stop me.
And we're back.
We're back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely, you should definitely check that out. It should be part of your required listening.
Required listening. Put it. Do it. Learn it. Live it. Put it in the queue. Learn it. Live it. Regurgitate it.
Mm-hmm.
Do all those things.
And rewind it.
Rewind it. Play it again if you want.
Play it again.
Do whatever.
Play it backwards.
But... I'm sure they would want you to play it backwards.
Find the secret messages?
Yes, there are secret messages in that podcast. All right, we are going to drop the deuce.
Yes,
after that tomfoolery, mm-hmm. we're going to drop the deuce on Skulls 2.
Skulls 2.
This, of course, stars Robin Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Dunn's pretty much the only person of name, I would say, in this movie.
I think there's a lot of people who you'll go, I think I've seen that person before.
I didn't do that during this movie.
I did that with a few people. Like a few people who are in, there was a guy who was in like 13 episodes of Warehouse 13.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about him. Yeah, he's probably the other.
No, not him.
Oh.
The coroner was in a bunch of episodes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's a lot of people who... You'll notice, like, shows that are filmed in Toronto and things like that.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And there's a lot of people you see come up a lot in things, sometimes for a longer period, sometimes not. But you'd recognize some of them, I'm sure, for any shows that you followed. There are, I think the other person of note is one of the Ashmore brothers is in this.
Right.
So very young, too. He's still a lot of baby face to him.
Right. And Skulls 2 is the sequel to the Joshua Jackson classic, Skulls 1.
Mm-hmm. Which had Joshua Jackson and it had Paul Walker.
And Craig T. Nelson?
Yep, Craig T. Nelson was in that.
And what's his face from CSI?
Yes.
Yes. William Peterson.
William Peterson. Thank you. I was like...
The Manhunter
himself. I don't know why I couldn't think of that.
That's okay. So, go ahead. Do you have some information about this movie? There's not really much about this movie.
There's not much.
I mean, it's a direct-to-video.
So it's the second in a three-part.
Yeah, there's a trilogy of Skulls movies, right? I guess.
Yeah. But this is the only one that got a got an R rating.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose for language and a couple shots of nudity. There wasn't even that much.
But there was, it was nudity.
Yeah, but nothing gratuitous.
Right.
Anyway. So now this movie, I'll just get kicked off here.
Yeah.
So we open on the woods in front of a castle and kind of get this expository dialogue. Again, we've gone through how many different ways of showing the dialogue here, and this is one of them where they just spell it out. They just
type
it out. Put it there for you to read. And it says, every year at a certain Ivy League colleges, an elite group of students is chosen to join societies. Unlike fraternities, these societies conceal their actions as they mold the leaders of the future.
Oh, no, isn't that what a fraternity
does? I guess
this is more secret than a fraternity.
Fraternity, you have secret stuff, too, right. But I think they're trying to delineate between, like, a serious actual power or whatever and having, like, where it's more open and party. You know who the members are.
Right. You know who they are, and no one's hiding. No one's branding themselves with a hot
you don't know
casting
that.
Iron. Okay, sure.
You don't know that. And also says at least four U.S. presidents are known to have been members.
We're going to assume the two Bushes.
Right.
Yeah.
The Bush. Yeah.
Chester A. Arthur.
Perhaps. Chester A. Arthur, go boom.
Go boom. And who else?
Taft,
probably. Maybe. Taft. We're assuming, but go ahead.
Yeah.
We'll get into it.
Who knows? I'm sure there's more than just those four. And it says the most powerful secret society has been the Skulls.
Title card.
Yep. And so it comes up there with the logo. And then, of course, the two just fades in.
Right.
It was actually a pretty nice title sequence, if you ask me.
Okay. Yeah.
Compared to some of these,
it's
where they're
like
just
gonna win
like
awards, but yeah, sure.
You know, compared to some of these where they're like, just throw the graphic up and go. Like, this was actually a very nicely...
Or some movies where it wasn't supposed to be the sequel and they just tacked it on. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, this was very... It looked very nice. It was visually appealing. And, of course, this is based on the Skull and Bones Society, which I believe were the ones the Bushes were supposedly part of. Yeah.
So is that Deschanel, right? The Deschanel? No, that's Bones, the TV show.
That's Bones' TV show.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. That was based on this as well, but the other half.
David Borealis. Bordalis is his name.
Borealis. The Aurora Borealis. The Aurora Borealis, where you see David.
That's
Boreanaz
about his acting.
He's
concerned, for all I care.
Okay, so now we see some red hooded figures standing in the woods
right.
By all
weren't
these
they like the sand people from Star Wars? What are those called?
The Jawas?
Jawas?
Yeah, they were. I think they were Jawas.
Oh, yeah, the sand people are like, and they hold their staffs up. So but these are the Jawas.
Yeah.
That's what they reminded me of.
Yeah. They kind of looked like Jawa robes.
Or the Spaceballs, like the Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Which were based off the
Jawas.
Jawas,
yeah. Yeah.
So they escort several men, including Robin Dunn.
Well, debatable if they're men. I saw a couple of them. But anyway, go ahead.
To what?
Go ahead.
To the ritual site. They're all blindfolded, of course.
Of course.
And at one point, they're ordered to remove their blindfolds.
Well, this is after they hit the piñatas in front of them.
Correct? Yeah.
Or pin the tail on the donkey.
And out of that, out of those piñatas fall white privilege.
Pin the tail on white privilege.
So they're ordered to take their blindfolds off and are told that all men are equal in death. Like it's a great equalizer.
Like that show, The Equalizer?
No, because that's great has never been.
My mom loved that show.
Okay.
But like Hunter and the Equalizer and all that? Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Airwolf?
My grandma loved Hunter.
Airwolf?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
So they're given shovels and basically told to dig their own graves, which is always a great way to start a relationship with a secret society. So they dig them and then have to lay in caskets that are in there. So basically they are dying. Then they wake up or just open the caskets then. And they're in some sort of, like, catacombs?
Yeah, but before, like, the caskets were in the ground, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like, they were going to be buried alive? So they had to move the caskets.
Yeah.
So how did they move them?
They had to be moved.
Them so they would, like...
No, well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they were chloroformed or
feel that your casket is moving.
And that that has to take a while to move a bunch of caskets with humans inside.
So
I mean, like,
we just want you to lay still in this
casket. Those things are not light.
Yeah, no.
They are not light. And so to move all of that, that's got to take some effort. But, hey, you know, just be cool in there for a little while. They never said they were drugged. I guess they just kind of, maybe they were.
Just went with it because it's the skulls and you might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, so when they come out of the coffin to the catacomb, they're considered reborn into this order. All of them... Yeah, basically they moved without feeling any of this. It's very strange. Anyway, the member who's there and reading basically finally removes his hood. He tells them that they are the elite of the elite.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going through a process called the Revealing, which has 14 days worth of trials they have to survive.
Where they turn from a caterpillar to a butterfly.
Yep, and I assume get their asses slapped with a lot of paddles and things like that.
Like you start going to have another.
Yes, exactly.
This seems like a lot of trouble to go through in order to have gay sex. I'm just saying. We're gonna have you dig your own grave, which is going to take a while. And then you're going to reveal a coffin. Because they had to dig those in and put those coffins in to begin with.
Yeah.
So then they had to dig to get the
I don't
coffin.
Get that. And they're not covered with dirt when you see them.
They're pristine.
There's no bodies in them already. So, yeah, this has been very elaborate. Yeah. So basically they're saying you have these 14 days of trials that you have to survive. So prepare to be tested. And really, at this point, they're forbidden from talking about it. Which apparently is the rule number one, yet nobody follows it ever.
No.
Yeah.
No. Rule one of white privilege, make sure you tell everybody.
Ryan Summers, while saying you don't have it, Ryan Summers, who's played by Robin Dunn, of course.
Our hero.
Yes, our hero. He's driven home on this rainy night, and they let him loose, and he goes basically to his... sleeping girlfriend named Allie. Interesting, she's played by Ashley Tesoro, but at the time of this movie, she actually was going by Ashley Lynn Cafagna.
Okay.
I mean, so she's changed her name since then. So
she changed from one Italian name to the other? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he goes, leans in to give her a kiss because she's sleeping, and of course she scares him. She's not actually asleep, she's just playing. Yeah, which you know, sends him aback.
Kind of jumped me a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I went, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, she, it did not. But
well,
at
maybe
that point...
I can easily scare. What was that? Did you hear that?
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
Boo. So at this point, they have sex.
With her clothes on with and
off. Well, yeah, so later, he's laying in bed. Well, we don't know that right at the beginning. So they're laying in bed, and of course, Robin Dunn has no shirt on. And she's just kind of leaning on him. And she asks why he was late, since he blew off their three-month anniversary. She asks if he's been tapped. No, but she has been.
Oh!
Hey-oh! Anyway, then she asks if he was tapped by the snake and bone, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Again, what does that mean? Did we come up
tapped
with
a few people with their snake and bone? Well, then he goes, no, as if, you know, they're terrible.
No, she says, she goes through all these secret societies,
then,
right?
Well, were you tapped by the wolf and scroll? And he says, they're even weaker. Then she gets excited. And asks if he was tapped by the skulls. And I wrote, I guess she was tapped by the skulls,
oh,
too.
Boom. Anyway. And then she says, were you tapped by the shoulder blade and taint group?
Then she said, were you tapped by the shark and machine gun?
And then she says, were you tapped by the ham hock and fingernail?
Were you tapped by the turtle and nunchuck?
Were you tapped by Crane, Poole, and Schmidt? Oh, wait, that's the law office from Boston, Legal, sorry.
Were you tapped by Chico and the Manatee?
I was going to say Mork and Mindy, but yeah, go ahead.
How about the magicians and the tablecloth?
Well, I thought, like, maybe if there was female secret societies, it could be, like, Lufa and the Banana Clip.
Ooh.
Or, like, Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah. Or if it's, like, in an international one, the Hammer and Sickle.
That's true. But right now, there are in their own secret society called Pork and Mindy.
I think my favorite one that I would probably join, Falcon Breath and Pizza Bone.
Falcon Breath and Pizza Bones. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that was a fun bit. Anyway, but yeah, at this point, she's like...
Bit? That was all off the cuff. Totally, I didn't write that down.
So he says basically to drop it because he's not supposed to talk about it. But of course, just the prospect of him being in this thing turns her on. And so now she sits up and she's fully clothed. And yeah, so then she starts clothed. Undressing. So they can have round two. So I'm like,
skulls too.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so she was dressed that whole time? I don't know. Anyway, so we cut to an Ivy League lacrosse team.
Yeah, so are we at Duke? What school are we at?
Probably.
I don't know. I'm just assuming. I know Duke has a lacrosse team.
Yeah.
I just don't know any.
Which is a great follow-up scene.
We are in, like, New Haven, Connecticut, I think.
Yeah, or something like that.
So
yeah.
I don't know what. I mean, come on. I don't know.
We're in the Northeast. Are we? It's easy to travel to all these towns around there.
What
so.
School do you think they're at?
I don't know. Yale?
What school do you think they're at?
Yale.
What school do you think they're at? Are you having a hard time hearing me?
Harvard.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, so Ryan apparently is on the lacrosse team, and he scores. He has this great shot.
Well, he scored before. But yeah,
again. Jeff, who is his teammate and friend, talks to him afterwards.
Yeah, it's his best bud.
As they're looking in their lockers, they both have these sashes with these, like, skull medallions. So it turns out that both Jeff and Ryan are being tapped for the skulls.
Seems for, so weird not to by. Say tap from the skulls.
Oh, I don't know why they're not saying pledging.
I
but,
actually had to
whatever.
Go on Boston Legal, like, on their Wiki page to remember what
the law firm was.
Yeah. So Kelly, doesn't he go over to Kelly and what's his girlfriend's house yet?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
So he, basically at this point, Ryan's not into this.
Oh, yeah, that's
And Jeff
right.
is, because he's like, this means something to me. We didn't all come from all of this, you know, so.
We find out that Ryan is legacy.
Yeah, he is. His brother, Greg, who's played by James Galanders.
He looks like a glander.
He does. What do we think he looks like? He looked like
when we paused it, he looked older.
He looked like an off-brand James Woods.
No, but he doesn't look like it.
No, but he doesn't in the movie. I think it's his IMDb photo did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we said James. I'm not going to even touch this one because James Woods has been in the news lately. So no, I'm not even going to go there.
That's fair. And basically, his brother is the one who's trying to force him in here because he wants him to just legitimize their family's prestige, basically. Now, at this point, Ryan goes to see Allie.
Right.
Yeah. So in an attempt to make up for the previous day and ditching everything, he goes to see her in
but
the
she's
afternoon.
Not there, right?
No, but her roommate, Kelly.
Right, she's listening to, like, Felicity music.
Yeah, Lindy Booth is who plays her. So,
Lindy Booth?
Lindy Booth.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
It just sounds really awesome. Yeah, do you want a table or do you want a Lindy Booth?
Is that a booth where you have to do the Lindy Hop?
In order to get... It's the most prestigious booth.
The Lindy Hop your way into it.
You have to do the Lindy Hop in order to get it. Okay.
So now Lindy and Ryan are talking about Faust.
The group? One, two,
no,
three.
No, that's Feist.
Oh, Feist. Oh, sorry.
So they're talking about Faust. Which surprises Kelly. She basically just thought that Ryan was a jock and that he was dumb and he was in there because he had money. And they're having a good conversation when Kelly starts saying something about him being a skull. So, like, Allie is just talking about this to everybody. So that's great.
Right. It's like it's like Paul Lind. It's an open secret.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone knows.
Yep. Like Liberace. Yeah. So finally Allie shows up, and says, he says, hey, he's going to take her to dinner to make up for everything. But it's 4 o'clock and he's like, well, we could take the long way. And basically he just wants to walk.
That
with
better
her
be a 2 hour long way then.
Yeah, it seems pretty, you know, like they have to get to the town away from the campus.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
But, you know, he doesn't want to, like, ride the fancy car to get wherever. He's just like, let's just walk, you know, cause he's a down to earth guy. So as they walk, he sees this red Ducati 996 in a shop window.
You actually said that's a Ducati.
Yeah.
Which I thought, wasn't he running for president at one time?
Ducati?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Ducati. He wishes he was.
Yeah.
He wishes he was
he
that.
Win
that
because he
polished
wasn't part of the
skull.
So he wasn't part of the skull, so he didn't win.
Yeah, yeah. That was the problem.
That's why. That's
that
why.
Was the problem with Ducati.
Yeah. Right.
So, of course, he's fawning over this bike, and he was like, oh, man, if I had one of these, I'd need to be buried with it. I love this thing. And so...
You can dig your own grave.
Yeah, but he has to also dig a grave for it. He just takes it with him everywhere. My bike never leaves my side.
Shape with the wheels.
So, they get to dinner. Them and the other elderly folks... at their 4 o'clock dinner, Kelly said she's
everyone's watching Wheel of Fortune.
Kelly said she's working on a paper, but she's going to blow it off to spend some time with him tonight. And he says, you know, he has some things that he needs to take care of, and he'll be hanging out with Jeff. And of course, she takes the hint and says, "Oh, you know what? I will work on that. So don't worry about it." You know, because she wants him to be in the skulls.
So the whole time we kept going, someone's a reporter.
Yeah, well, somebody's a reporter.
You were like, she's a reporter.
She's a reporter. No, Kelly's a reporter. Like, we're trying to figure it out.
Someone has to be a reporter.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you,
how these movies go.
Spoiler alert, no one is
a
reporter.
No one is a reporter. Yet we said it to her, like...
We kept saying it over and
like,
over.
Like, we're like, is that guy a reporter?
That guy's a reporter.
There's a single reporter in here.
That waitress at the restaurant, she's a reporter.
Somebody looked at a newspaper. Does that count? of course, though, he goes to pay for dinner, and he has this, like, Bank of Zurich black card.
Now, okay, do you remember when we were watching the trailer before we watched this movie, and they actually go to the ATM, and he's like, whoa, and he's got, like, $20,000?
That was Joshua Jackson.
Was it? Was
yeah,
that? Oh, my God, that was the other movie?
That was the first,
damn
that
it.
Was the first Skulls movie.
Sorry.
But yes, I do remember that.
Okay. Sorry.
Enjoy the whole trilogy, folks.
I swear that was in this one. It wasn't? Oh, okay.
Now this.
I was like, so they cut that scene.
So they have this Bank of Zurich black card, right? And
yeah.
It still has the strip across it that says, like,
to activate.
Call to activate this. So I feel like they actually got a card with some fancy bank and were like, don't take the sticker off because we'll have to pay whatever.
Right.
And then when they were done with it, they're like, return it. Pretend we didn't use it. Then send it back.
That's true. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
So In the meantime, the Skulls boys go to some castle again. It has to be on campus somewhere.
I don't know. I call it mini Hogwarts. Schmogwarts.
Castle Grayskull.
Castle Grayskull.
So they go to Castle Grayskull to Smogwarts.
Castle Grayskull's better. Because of skulls.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I said it. I'm fancy like that. So they're introduced.
Oh, I get it.
They're introduced to Winston Taft, which I think is supposed to be us going, ooh, is he related to President Taft?
Yeah, he's a lot skinnier than President Taft, though.
Yeah, that's true. But he's from the class of 1972, and he says, you're going to be introduced to your soulmates.
Yeah, which, soulmates.
Which we pause then for laughing.
Well, yeah, come on.
So, but basically, soulmates are responsible for each other. So they take care of each other. You have to have their other's back. So
it's like your brother from another mother.
Yeah, you're supposed to be like even closer to your soulmate than you are to the rest of the Skulls. Like,
yeah.
They're your partner in crime. Parker Neal, who's played by Nathan West, he was the guy from earlier in the Red Hood.
Yeah.
He says that his soulmate is Matt Hutchison, a.k.a. Hutch.
Hutch.
Who is played by Aaron Ashmore. So,
oh, that Ashmore.
Yeah. Who was also, I believe, in Warehouse 13.
Yes, Warehouse 13. Marvel movie? No, was he Marvel?
He was not. He was not Sean Ashmore, who was Iceman.
Iceman.
But did show up as the mimicked copy when Mystique turns into Iceman.
Come on. They're,
he shows
they're
up
interchangeable.
They are. And, kind of. And actually, throughout this movie, I think they are doing that. Because Aaron Ashmore at this time...
Do you think Aaron was like, I don't want to go to work today? You want to go for
why
me?
Not?
Oh, yeah, sure.
His head... Because Aaron Ashmore at this point had a lot of like...
Or maybe he had to do a Warehouse 13 episode. And
it was 2000... What?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I was trying to help him out.
I know.
I was trying to help the Hutch out.
But Aaron, like, he had a little bit more, you know, I don't want to say baby fat, but his head was a little bit rounder back then before it started thinning out a little. And it changes throughout the movie,
yeah.
So I don't know if he's just losing some little weight in his face or if his brother was switching out with him.
Sure. Who knows?
But if they can do it, why not? Like, you know, help each other out.
They're their own soulmate right there.
Yes.
Those twins.
And actually, at one
point...
They're
fine actors. I'm not saying that, you know, they're... But they are kind of interchangeable.
I was also waiting. I was like, oh my God, is there a twist where there's more than one... More than one Hutch in this movie? Like, I thought maybe both twins would be in it, but...
Hutch and Butch.
Yeah. So, everybody's given daggers, and they're blindfolded.
Yeah, it's a secret society speed date, right?
Basically. And they're told to stab their soulmates in the little medallion that they wear over their heart. But you gotta do it, like, dead on, or else you might hurt the other person. And they're like, do it! And so it's just a test, basically. They stab, and the blades are retractable. But it was to see if they could get them to do it, and to trust that they trust the other person. Except for Ryan... Something's going wrong. Like, he's obviously
he got stabbed.
He looks like he's bleeding all over. And everybody panics. Turns out that Ryan was playing a joke. He basically was told about it the whole time. His brother Greg spilled the beans. So Jeff and Ryan now are in trouble because they screwed with their sacred.
Yeah, they made fun of the whole.
Yeah. And now... Now their dicks are just flaccid. They're definitely not going to be.
Stop.
the romance is gone at this point. Basically, as punishment, they have to clean up the fake blood in the attic or wherever they were that they were doing that. Of course, Taft scolds Greg for telling the secrets to Ryan and says, "Look, I know he's your brother, but you still can't do this. You know." You can't betray the Skulls,
right.
Even if it's your brother, to him. So he's like,
By the power of Grayskull.
Grayskulls. And so, now while cleaning, Jeff sees Hutch on the roof with some girl.
Right.
So she's getting drunk with Hutch, and she's doing some kind of striptease. Yeah. Of course, they're all checking it. Two Jeff boobs. And him are watching her.
Two boobs spying on boobs.
Yes, that's correct.
I mean, we have full frontal action going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not full frontal. Just topless.
Not full frontal, but topless. Yeah, not full frontal. I'm sorry.
And of course, Ryan notes he's going to the Skulls in the Sky Club.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Which
I want him to do more accents. Like
I did
that.
I think do. Like funny. I want him to be Sean Connery in a docudrama.
No.
Yes, it'd be awesome.
I just want him to do fun comedy.
Yes. Well, that could be a fun comedy, too. You don't know. You don't know how my docudrama is going to go.
Oh, well, I do. I think so. I read the script.
So this girl, she starts kind of, dancing and everything. Then she just looks super disoriented.
Yeah.
Ryan looks away for a second to talk to Jeff. And when he turns back, he sees the girl either fall or get pushed from the roof.
Right.
And Hutch is just standing there. So he doesn't know what happened.
Yeah.
But she just she goes off the roof.
Right here I put tits overboard. tits overboard.
Ass over tits and a peat bog.
Which was that Goldie Hawn show, right?
Yeah.
Tits overboard. Yeah.
That was that movie, yeah.
Yep.
So
just,
Ryan
just
attempts
to make fun of Goldie Hawn, folks.
Do it. Ryan attempts to tell his brother and Parker, but they say they just saw Hutch and there's nothing to worry about. Jeff agrees, saying, look, she probably just walked off. You didn't see it. You're just filling in the gaps with your mind. Like, nothing happened. Don't worry about it. So Ryan, he goes to see Allie at this point. And he brings her up some, was it chocolate suicide cake is what he gives her?
Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
To make up for bailing on her.
Right.
And then he calls her a cake eater.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like the nerf herder of Skulls 2. Hey, cake eater. You're
a cake eater. Yeah. Basically, says
shut up, that cake eater.
It means that she's a spoiled rich girl.
Oh, okay.
And of course, she says,
she ate cake.
Well, yeah, that too. But she says, hey, I'm a rich girl, but I'm not spoiled. And then in retaliation, she starts tickling him.
Right. And then she starts singing that Hall & Oates song. You're a rich girl.
Yes.
Okay.
She does it, the whole musical number.
Yep. No, she doesn't. That'd be awesome, though.
The Skulls musical. So now, and we're going to talk about this. There's a public service announcement that we need to get out there. The real dangers of kick tickling. So he starts getting tickled. And, of course, he loses control. Flailing about.
Right.
He can't control that.
He kicks her.
And he kicks her.
In the eye.
Like he just starts kicking around like he's an infant and kicks her in the eye, which is pretty talented. And
she's like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm sorry, you goof.
And she goes, oh, you goof.
You're playful.
I mean, she's pretty down to earth for whatever spoiled rich girl.
Right, rich girl.
So she goes in there, and of course Kelly's like, what the hell happened? And she's looking at it and says, yeah, you're going to end up having a bruise there. And he's going to go get some ice. Well, while he's getting the ice, he sees somebody watching them from this SUV. And it finally takes off. We cut to the next day at breakfast. We see, of course, Allie has a black eye at this point. And then he's just looking at the newspaper. And he sees this girl on the front playing field hockey. And he says, wait, do you know this girl? Who is this? And she reveals it's Diana Rollins. She's the captain of the women's field hockey team. And Allie, of course, wants to know why he wants to know this.
Two and two together, that was Tits Overboard.
Yes, that was the girl from...
Yeah. Tits McGee.
Yes, who fell overboard.
Yeah.
And he says, and she wants to know why. And he goes, oh, no, it's... Jeff has a thing for her, and just kind of covering, why he's asking. And then she says, oh, well, Hutch has been after her for quite a while. And then that's when he all of a sudden is like, holy shit, like, this really did happen.
He's like, you know Hutch?
Yeah, and he goes, you know Hutch? And she goes, sure, who doesn't?
I don't know, everyone?
But and of
small
course,
as Yale.
There were rumors before, like he had been in trouble. He was on probation for possession of drugs, and they got him off. They basically
right. The Skulls were like
the Skulls got him. The charges dropped. And he says, "Well, you know, is it true that he's a druggie?" And she Allie kind of beats around the bush with it, but basically kind of confirms what you know you've heard that he's into whatever. He's into partying. So Ryan gets Jeff, and they go to check on Diana, and so so they go to her field hockey practice, and she doesn't show up. Nobody knows where she is. So then they go to her room, and you hear her dog inside even, and they're knocking, trying to get her to answer. Nobody's there.
Nobody's home.
So Ryan decides he's going to go to the police. Jeff says not to. He's like, hey, look, you know.
You don't have proof. You gotta get proof.
You don't get proof. Like, I don't want to jeopardize this anyway.
Some of us aren't legacies.
Yeah.
Okay?
And he says
we
gotta Skulls,
do it ourselves.
Yeah, and he says the Skulls mean something to me. This is important. And of course, Ryan pulls the soulmate card. And
I think he could only pull that once.
Yeah, and he blew it on this one because Jeff is like, dude, we're just tapped. We're not even part of this yet. So yeah, that doesn't count. Just get proof and we'll talk. So Ryan meets Greg now, goes to see his brother in some dark alley where it's just storming.
Yeah.
And they meet in the rain. And
like
Greg
it's a deep throat
him,
kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, whatever.
Greg gives his brother some documents, like his book and like the key to get in to Castle Grayskull. And he says, don't worry, I'm not going to drag you into this, Greg. You know, I promise I won't get you in trouble. So Greg says, but don't worry, but if you get in there, they're already going to know how you got in.
The Skulls already know everything.
Yeah, they already know everything. More than you can imagine. So Ryan goes back to the castle. And of course, when he's going up the ladder to see where Hutch was, Parker catches him. Turns out Greg ratted him out.
Of course. He's Skull for
skull
life.
Skull above all others.
Skull above all others.
Yeah. So Parker starts.
Mossman was there. Cyclops was there.
Yeah.
I know Mahi-Man villains.
Say Cyclops?
Yeah.
Is Triclops?
Triclops. So I don't know Mahi-Man villains.
Man-E faces?
Big deal. I don't know Mahi-Man villains.
Because he has many faces.
Oh, many faces. I forgot many faces, yeah. I meant Triceratops.
Triclops.
No, Triceratops, right? The guy that has three eyes.
Yeah.
I digress.
Hordak? Oh, that's She-Ra.
Anyway. That's She-Ra. I know that. That's She-Ra.
Yeah, that is She-Ra.
That sounded so gay, what I just said. Go ahead.
you said it so emphatically.
I know that. That's She-Ra.
Anyway. So Parker states, look, Ryan, you don't understand what's going on, but I need you to listen. He said, this has all been a test. Diana is alive. You know, so some years ago, there was somebody who...
Yeah, okay.
There was somebody who, you know, was kind of on the line, and so they faked his roommate's suicide.
Right.
His roommate wasn't really dead, but they faked it to see what he would do. And I thought this was a callback to the first movie.
I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No.
I can't remember,
honestly. I don't
think
it is. I honestly can't remember the first movie.
No.
It's like a big blur.
No, I think they were on a jet ski at one point, and that's what all I remember.
Movie?
I think so.
Really?
Were they on a jet ski in tuxedos? I don't remember the first movie I don't know.
They were in a jet ski in tuxedo?
Jet skis in mate. I know they
I
were tuxedos. But I don't know if they were together. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Anyway, it sounds legit, though, right?
Sounds like Skulls.
That's what
won.
I would do if I
that
was rich.
Totally sounds like the ridiculous.
If
Skulls
I was
won.
Rich, I would just ride around on jet skis in a tuxedo. But he says, "Look, this is just—it's all been a test. She's been skiing on this like all expense paid weekend. We sent her up there. We just faked it to teach you a lesson to test you."
Is her name Diana, right?
Yeah,
Diana. Yeah, she's skiing on those big mounds.
Yeah.
You got big mounts that she's skiing on.
Grand Tetons?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
You think that's my only boob joke?
No.
Keep going.
No, I don't.
You're like, no.
No, I don't.
No.
You know, they were just trying to test him. And he says, well, obviously I failed. And they said, no, because you didn't bring in outsiders.
So I'm like, okay.
So you're in. So they give him a tuxedo already his size.
But yeah, you're in.
So they go to this final ceremony. You were thrown on our side,
but you didn't tell anyone, so you're in.
Yeah. We go to this final ceremony where Senator George Milford gives them official skull swag, like watches and rule books.
Rule books.
And of course, if you're familiar with it, they give them these skull watches, the skulls watches. They actually brand them with the skulls logo.
Right.
And then they put the watch over.
When they do that, I think they go, when they brand them.
Probably.
Yeah, don't they?
Yeah. I got a figure eight. I got a flying J. Anyway. They brand them. Taft asks Parker, or tasks Parker, excuse me, with keeping the Summers brothers from thinking the girl is fine. Or to task them to keep them thinking the girl is fine. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then says, look, you also need to take care of this. Distract him. Do whatever you need to do. And so later, or like basically they're trying to say, hey, Parker, you're going to be in charge of this one day. So show us what you got. So when he gets back to, he takes Ryan home in this limo. And when they get back there, Parker gives him these keys. And he says, hey, these are your keys. And he goes, keys to what?
His heart.
Well, he gave him the keys to Castle Grayskull already, but then he says, these are other keys. Yeah, and he goes, what are to these? What? So he goes inside his apartment.
Walks up his steps.
Yeah, up the steps into his place.
Opens the door, finds
and
the motorcycle.
And the Ducati is in there. Somebody dragged the Ducati up the stairs and parked it in there. I'm sure the neighbors love him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ryan doesn't crash them trying to get it back down the stairs. Instead, he immediately rides it over to Allie's to pick her up in the morning. Kelly says she went out with somebody else and asked what's going on with them. He was like, somebody else? So he takes off.
I thought she told him that it was Hutch.
No.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
But come on.
So he gets to Gypsy's, which is the place he was eating.
Yeah, he was eating.
And
Gypsies, right?
Yeah, Gypsies. Mm-hmm. And Allie is with Hutch. And, of course, she starts freaking out and saying that he hit her. And, of course, Ryan's puzzled. He's like, what are you even talking about?
And Hutch is like, you hit my girlfriend?
Yeah, he's like, you hit my girlfriend?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, and he's even more confused then.
It's all confusing. This would not happen at Tom Servo's.
No.
Or Cruz.
No, it might happen at Mike's.
Yeah, it would happen at Mike's.
Yeah, that seems legit.
Joel's would be closed.
So she says she's scared and tells him to get out of there. Hutch says to stop spreading rumors about, comes close to him and says, you need to stop spreading rumors about me. So it's the first time that he's kind of like breaking that, like, what's going on kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He's basically threatening him. And Ryan barely touches him, and Hutch just flops. He throws himself through stuff.
Like a basketball player. Huh? Yeah. Look at that foul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I barely touched you. And, of course, they tell him to get out.
Ryan's... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so Ryan, he's confused by the situation. He starts getting trouble in class.
His life keeps spiraling out. Yeah.
Yeah, he starts getting knocked around on the lacrosse field. And at this one point, he sees the guy who hit him really hard. Parker is talking to this guy off the field. And so he's like, uh-oh. And so then Jeff also won't hang out with him.
Right.
You're
my soulmate.
Yeah, but Jeff doesn't want to hang with him. So Ryan, trying to figure out what's going on, he remembers them talking about there were other times when there were student suicides that were faked. So he starts looking up student suicides on campus. Parker shows up and sees him in the library. He threatens Ryan, saying they'll have his back, but they don't know, you know, just in case you ever need it. And then they'll even try to talk Allie out of pressing charges against him.
So they're saying the skulls are controlled.
Yeah.
We can control the situation. Just yeah. let us.
And this whole scenario is very odd to me, though. Because
it kind of is for me, too.
Because it's like you bought him a bike. You're trying to buy him off. You're making him happy. And he was...
Then you ruin his life, too?
He was fine with it. Like, he was... Like, I think he was distracted yeah. from it by the shiny stuff.
Well, whatever.
And then... And then you immediately start ruining his life. Like, he didn't, like, I could understand if he was like...
Like, I feel like he would have gone with the hoax.
Yeah.
If you could have just kept doing this.
Yeah, because...
String him along.
Right,
no.
He didn't start spiraling out until you were like,
yeah.
hey, you like this bike? And then you
I'm gonna investigate all this stuff.
Yeah, he was totally distracted. You gauge that one wrong. I could see if he still would have pushed for it, then going for the life ruiner path. But there was no need for that yet. So right. Very odd. So Ryan goes to talk to Allie, but she's not there. So he talks to Kelly, and Kelly's confused too and asks what is going on. She says they're sending a message. You know, they're sounds like they're sending a message, mm-hmm. but for what? And he says maybe it's for something that's going to happen and not something that's happened yet. And when she asks for what, he doesn't answer, so he's just getting out of there. Ryan drives to see Mrs. Beckford, played by Sandy Ross. She's worked on numerous shows, and she was like in, I think in like 2008, she was with Felicia Rashad and
P. Diddy,
Puff Daddy. Sean Combs on. Sean Combs. They did a TV movie of Raisin in the Sun.
Raisin in the Sun,
and she was in that. So
not Raisinette in the Sun.
No, where it's the same thing, but they're covered in chocolate.
Yeah, where the cast of Raisin in the Sun is just yeah. dipped in chocolate.
Yeah. That's right. So Mrs. Beckford is the mother of one of the suicides. This kid named Will Beckford, who was a reporter. He was the reporter.
I guess, yeah. That's the reporter.
So her husband, you know, she's at the door and he's asking questions. She goes away and her husband comes to the door instead and says they don't want any trouble. Ryan convinces him that he's just trying to do the right thing. And he really wants to understand what's happening. So they let him inside. They say they tried to take on the skulls after their son's death because of this article that he was writing, but no one would help them because the skulls have their hands on everything. Like, they're in with lawyers, right. they're in with judges, they're everybody.
You name it, they're on top of it.
Yep. He says, you can't stop the skulls. The best you can do is survive them,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a pretty good line.
I guess.
I thought so.
That's fine.
So when Ryan goes to leave, he realizes he's being followed. There's the same SUV sitting there watching him. Back at Allie's place, Kelly confronts Allie and asks why she's doing this. Like, why are you turning on Ryan? This is so bizarre.
Right, because at first we were like, is the roommate in on it? But then at this moment, this scene yeah. says that she's not.
She's not. And also that she's not a reporter.
And that she's not a reporter.
And she says, you know, what have the skulls offered you? Like, what to do this to him? And Allie says, you know what, Kelly? I loved you like a sister, but the lease is in my name, so you need to move out tonight.
Move out. Oh, plus you owe me some...
Plus you owe me money for the phone bill.
Yeah, which I thought, well, that was weird.
Yeah. And so she just boots her right there, very cold about it. So Greg calls Ryan and tells him to turn on the TV.
Right.
So at this point, he turns on the TV. They found Diana's car crashed right. off the
Diana
road.
Cars, yeah, her crash, yeah.
Greg asks if that's a girl that he saw, and he says, yeah. And he goes, okay, you have to be careful. Yeah.
And the car's crashed.
Yeah.
It hit, like, a tree.
Yeah.
And they're pulling it out, and we see her license plate.
License plate, Diana R.
Diana. I said, the girl on the car in the car crash, I guess she hit a speed bump, and then a crash. What?
No airbags joke?
Ooh, that would have been a good one, too. Anyway. No, I just thought speed tit instead of speed bump.
Okay. We watched this way too close to Deuce Bigelow, too.
No, go ahead.
So, right after that, there's a knock at the door, and there's this note, complete with, like, wax seal and all that kind of jazz.
I don't know why these secret societies want to go all out on their, like letters and stuff. Just mail the thing. Just text.
It takes forever to get there.
Oh, come on. Got to put the seal on. Lick the envelope. Here you go. Drop it off.
Well, not even that. They do it all in, like, calligraphy.
Yeah,
like, calligraphy. I get the rest of it, but, like, somebody, like, spent the time to do the calligraphy
that
lessons.
That takes a while.
Yeah. So they summon him to Castle Grayskull. So Parker is there with Hutch. He says it would look bad if anyone found out that Diana died as a result of the ski trip they sent her
the
on.
Speed bump.
No, that if she died when they were on that trip because they, you know, then people would know that they were faking her suicide her death and
faking
all this.
Her death.
So they're still really hanging on to this original story.
Nothing happened, right?
Yeah, he said she just... he does have a very odd line where he's like, she hit a patch of ice. There was no alcohol or drugs in her system. And I was like, well, that's the only thing that makes me think there are drugs in alcohol.
Right?
Like, who specifically calls out... Yeah, anyway...
I know your next question was there drugs or alcohol in your system?
Yeah,
there wasn't.
Preemptively telling you. So they want him to stay silent. You know, they're like, okay, you know, this will look bad if they find out that we sent her up there. So we need you to be quiet. And then gives them the company line of a skull above any other. And of course, then Parker makes him shake and make up with Hutch. It's like, come on, you guys, hash this out.
Kiss and make up.
Yeah. And of course...
We're skulls.
Of course, Ryan does. He says, hey, no hard feelings. And they, you know, they work it out. But as they leave...
Right.
Ryan asks Jeff to have his back. Jeff says, I gotta go. And just leaves. Like, he knows something's not gonna be in his favor. So he just gets the hell out of there. When Ryan gets home, Kelly is waiting for him. And asks to crash at his place... After she had, because she talked to Allie and Allie kicked her out.
She doesn't know where to go. She has no other friends.
Yeah.
Except for this Ryan.
Yeah.
That she's met twice.
It makes sense. It makes sense. There's only three people on campus outside of the skulls. So, there were four, but then the reporter died. So.
Right.
So he confesses to her, everything to her.
Boy, attendance is down.
Yeah. He confesses everything to her. And they make out a little before he accidentally finds a bug.
I should put Kelly kisses Ryan. Ryan doesn't kick back. Which
well, there
is
you
good.
Go. Well, she learned not to tickle him.
Don't tickle.
You see what happens.
Yeah. Kelly's smart.
Yeah. So then they found a bug planted in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, we got to, you know, he kind of tells her to be quiet. And says, we got to get out of here. So they run, and they get on the bus.
Right.
And so they have this discussion on the bus where they can't be monitored.
Right. Right. And they talk about, what is it that we're missing?
Yeah.
We got to be missing something.
Yeah. So and it is, I kind of like this, where they're thinking back through it.
Yeah, they're thinking it back.
Yeah, and right? She says, you know, or she says, or he talks about going to the police. And Kelly says, hold on, before we do that, we got to have proof. There's got to be something. So let's talk about
think
it.
Think about it.
Well, did she have anything? Well, she had a blanket. Well, how about Hutch?
So Ryan has these tip backs. I mean, flashbacks. Sorry.
That wasn't even...
What?
Tip backs?
Yeah, tip
backs.
Not flash, like flash or tip.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, look, these aren't great tip puns. I'm just telling you. I told you I had more boob jokes.
Puns?
I didn't say they were good. Okay? Calm down. So he has tip backs, I mean flashbacks, about the incident on the roof. Right? Look,
I'm
trying.
Sorry. You went
if I say the joke three times, maybe you'll laugh.
You went for tit backs and you didn't go for flash boobs?
I went there. Oh, my God. Flash boobs. Oh, God. You wrote it better. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I wasn't a fraternity, so. I did major in entendre. Anyway,
I'm sure you did.
So they're thinking about it. And then Ryan remembers that Hutch had a flask. And so he's like, she drank from that. And so she, I don't know if there are drugs or other things going on, but she drank from that before she got disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
So then he thinks, wait a minute. I also remember Parker specifically and awkwardly saying there were no drugs or alcohol in her system. But there had to be. But the coroner's report said there wasn't. So how does that work out? So they decide they have to get the original coroner's report.
How the hell are we going to do that? We're just college kids.
Yeah. So their plan is, well, and then they go back to his apartment where they know it's been bugged. And so where the skulls know they are.
Right.
Which is always a good plan, is to be on somebody's radar at all times.
Maybe.
So the next morning, Ryan goes to call his brother at his brother's firm. And they do use a payphone just to try to stay off the grid. Turns out, Greg has been fired. And immediately after, he gets a cell phone call saying that they're watching him. And an SUV starts chasing Ryan and Kelly at that point. They duck into an alley. And then the guy chasing them, like, he's just driving down the alley after them. They duck kind of into a doorway where they can't get hit. And the SUV pulls up next to it, just stares at them, and drives away.
Right.
So, like, if you were trying to kill these people, there was your opportunity. They were trapped there.
Right.
Instead, you were like, sorry, the only weapon I have is my car.
I'm out of bullets. Yeah.
So, Ryan meets with his brother, like, on the pier somewhere. Greg says he should have known Ryan's phone was bugged when he called him the night before. The skulls threaten to disbar him just for talking to Ryan. Ryan says Diana's death was a cover-up. Greg says, you know, they're not going to stop. The skulls are not going to stop. So you know what? Neither are we.
No.
And so they come up with a plan. So Greg takes Ryan to go see the coroner. This coroner, whose name is Dr. Sprague, played by Simon Reynolds. He was on for like a season of Warehouse 13. He's been in a lot of other Canadian television. Okay. And he asked...
Is that why he kept saying sorry?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. All of them were Canadian.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
So he asks if this was a test, because you're one of the skulls, he's a skull, right?
So yeah. Like it has to be a test.
Yeah.
Of the emergency broadcast system.
He says, you and your guys need to stop leaning on me about this because I've got insurance.
Ooh.
He goes, wait, insurance? He goes, you mean the real report?
Talk to the general and save some time. That kind of insurance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that insurance. So he has a report and he says that, you know what? No, it's all been a test so as not to arouse suspicion about all this. So it's a test. You're getting paid enough. Great. We out. And they leave. And they're like, well, how are we going to get to that? So later, Kelly comes in and flirts with Sprague to get him out of his office. Ryan
sneaks
in. This guy's
a perv. This guy is a creepy perv. He's a creepy perv.
Well, when they were like, did you get paid enough? And he's like, yeah, she was great.
She was great. I'm going to assume that's like a prostitute? I don't know.
No clue.
Like, if you're going to be bought off with a prostitute?
Yeah, dude, you could have so much more. Anyway, Ryan sneaks in and starts breaking in to get the real file. Sprague, in the sexiest flirting possible, takes Kelly to go see the morgue where there's a dead body on a slab.
To impress a woman.
Apparently.
Here, let me show you dead people.
Yeah. Giving her a
now that you
again.
Saw that stiff, want to see mine?
I was waiting for it. Like your song from your hit Weekend at Bernie's 2 musical.
Yes. You're giving me a stiff again?
Yes.
You're giving me a stiff again.
Ooh. Yes. So he and Kelly...
Coming never to Broadway.
Sprague says, I left my beeper in my office. And she's like, I thought you were the big man. You don't need to answer to anybody. And he's like, you'll find out, you know... Even when you're the big man, there's always somebody bigger. And so he has to go back. So he and Kelly get back.
That was a good line, too. There's always someone higher up.
Yeah.
Just a reminder.
He and Kelly get back just in time to see Ryan leaving his office.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. And so Ryan and Kelly run for it. He gives the report to Kelly as they run. He's like, I have an idea.
Yeah.
And it's this cool thing, like... they run, they get to the elevator, and like the coroner like reaches in and he looks furious. He's like grabbing, he's got him by his backpack. He's got his by his backpack and he's trying to pull him through. Is this really great bit of action?
I thought it was fine.
Actually, this whole scene is pretty good. I thought so. When they're running, so they're trying to get away. When the coroner almost gets his backpack, he goes, "Hey, I have an idea," and he gives the report to Kelly instead. Yeah. And of course, she had like
she keeps spraying people with mace.
Yeah. So they get down to the first floor, and of course, the coroner has alerted people at this point. So the doors open. And she reaches around. She reaches around Ryan and maces the security guard in the face.
Which I thought, hey, whatever. I actually call her like Mace Windu.
There you go.
That's her Star Wars name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds good.
Use the force, Kelly. Use the force when you spray those people with mace.
Force spray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sprays one of the female guards. Well, and she goes, ah!
Yeah, well,
that was funny.
So then there's this female guard at the door, which I thought was kind of cool. She, like, does this weird, like, little flippy kind of thing. Or, like,
she
this
does.
Sort of
it was actually pretty good, yeah.
And she's chasing him. And so I'm like, holy shit, she's on top of Ryan. Like, she's going after him. And she takes him down. And then Kelly just kind of, like, walks up and is like, oh, yeah, mace in the face. And just blasts
mace
her,
mace in the face with a helpful hardware store.
So you get maced in the face. Do you need some lumber? Tough shit. You're getting maced in the face.
That's funny.
We have screws. We have mace in the face. We have 2x4s. We have shovels. Also more mace in the face.
That's all we have. Mace in the face.
Yes. Mace in the face. So it's their that was my favorite. Quality.
Yeah, that was my favorite band too. Mace of Bass.
Mace of Bass.
Yeah. Mace of Bass. Yeah.
Is another macing. anyway.
Don't turn around. I'm going to mace you. Yeah. Oh.
All that she wants is another boob joke.
Okay. No, we don't need any more boob jokes.
Okay.
All of them were terrible. We don't need any more. I think our listeners love when my jokes fail. I think it's funnier to them when it fails.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they laugh a lot then. Go ahead.
Anyway, Ryan and Kelly run out of the hospital or whatever. Kelly jumps into the car and the security people manage to grab Ryan. So he tells them to leave. So she and Greg escape while Ryan gets arrested. So Parker, Hutch, and Allie are like, you know, did you hear? He's been arrested. So it's time we put this guy down for good. So they decide they're going to go to the police and press charges for abuse. So Parker, Hutch, and Allie get to the police station to accuse Ryan of abuse when... They were like, are you Hutchison? Yeah. And they arrest him for the murder of this girl.
Ooh, da-da-dum.
And they go, wait, what's happening?
Justice, sir.
And then the cop says, and you, miss, talking to Allie, he's like, I wouldn't go anywhere. I have a few questions for you. Because he knows that she's complicit in this. And then he tells Parker that he should get a lawyer. And Parker says, you know, what's going on? He goes, oh, we've had the report. We know what you and your soulmate did, you know, and what you skulls are up to. And he's like, whoa, you know, like he knows everything. He goes, but it's just my word against, it's just Ryan's word against ours. And he goes, no, that's not the case. He goes, we had a witness who came forward. And then you see in the other room, Jeff is there confessing everything because he decided to do the right thing.
Jeff did the right thing.
Which
followed
made me
Jeff.
Feel good. Like I,
it made me feel good about Jeff.
I was just, yeah.
You
because
were a throwaway
Jeff,
character.
Jeff was doing, yeah. He did the right thing because he could have had him. I think the easy thing would have been to be like, Jeff turned on you. But
yeah.
Didn't
like I
turn
felt like
him.
A lot of these people could have been like,
yeah.
They just turned on him.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They didn't go down that route.
Right.
They didn't make the twist be. They got away with it.
Right. Which is very
Which
easy
is
to
nice.
Do a lot of
times. So, yeah, especially in 2002, whatever this was. Yeah.
Taft gets a call from Parker And he says, don't say a word. Don't even tell him what kind of, how you take your coffee. Just don't say anything. At that moment, Mr. Beckford walks
up. I take
up.
My coffee like I take my men, rich and Colombian.
So Mr. Beckford shows up and says he's going to see, he'll see him and the other, Taft and the other Skulls in court.
Right.
He's like, what are you talking about? He goes, as I understood it, you didn't have a decent lawyer to represent, you couldn't find a decent lawyer to represent you. And he goes, oh, I have one who will now, and he knows all the ins and outs, what's going on, and it's Greg.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, right?
I really liked that moment. I was like, yes.
I did too.
I was like, perfect. That was awesome.
Because these movies too often were about, like, see how glum and whatever. Like, there was no escape.
There was no escaping the white privilege.
Even when you think you're free of it, you're still part of it, whatever. And so it's like, ooh, okay, this is great. So now Allie shows up crying. Like, Kelly's packing.
Yeah. Why are you going back to... Because...
Yeah, and so she shows up and she's like, look at the happy couple. And she's got mascara running down and she looks disheveled. And Ryan asks her, why? Why would you do this? And he goes, when I found out that you were going to be a Skull, I knew that I got to be elite. And I was going to be the woman on campus.
We could be the power couple. We could be Rally or...
Yeah.
Or Al Lynn. I don't know. I'm trying to do a power couple name.
Riley?
Riley? I don't know. Go ahead.
I think Riley's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. No. You would think Alien? That. You would think so. Alien? I like Alien.
Alien?
Yeah. I like Alien better.
They're both very, very good, I think. Anyway.
I know. One's out of this world and the other one's not. So I like Alien better.
Fair enough.
Yeah, go for it.
So he jeopardized that when he started asking questions, and they offered to still make her elite. Like, she could. I think that's why she was with Hutch, because she was going to be this power couple with him.
Oh, okay.
And which, like, part of me thought. I was disappointed by this a little bit, because before, when she was going...
It almost is like a... she's a character that kind of lost...
Yeah.
Lost its power or something, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's like a puzzle piece that doesn't quite...
When she first did that, what I thought was happening, and actually I would have probably accepted a little bit more, was I thought maybe they threatened her family. They threatened to take everything away from them, and she was a spoiled rich girl.
Right.
And that they would talk about that.
She's a cake eater.
Yeah, but it turns out it wasn't. It was worse than that. It was just her personal greed and
she's a cake
and her
eater.
Power hunger. Yeah, which I was kind of bummed by that. I wanted it to be I betrayed you, but I betrayed you, and yeah, it was selfish, but my whole family was at stake. Versus,
I don't know. I'm fine
with
it
because
I don't want any redemption from her. She was kind of stupid.
Yeah, but I didn't want redemption, but I at least wanted it to be meaningful, and it wasn't even that.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, so Parker and Taft at this point, Taft has sprung Parker from the jail, from the Huskow, and takes him in front of the Skulls. Senator Milford is sitting in this big room with the giant word war etched on the back wall.
Sure.
Which I think might have been from the first movie, too.
I think it might have been.
If I remember right,
but
it was.
Whatever.
Anyway, so they're in the war room. Milford says this is not going to stand. They are going to expel the member of the Skulls who jeopardized the order. And Parker goes, yes, this is exactly what I thought you should do. You know, get him out of here. We'll deal with him. We'll take care of Summers and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I was talking about you. And... of course, Parker's like, wait, don't, back me up on this. And he's like trying to get Taft to back him up. It was your plan. This was your plan. You need to back me up. And Taft just totally sells him out. He is just shut up. Be quiet. Just take your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So then Parker starts ranting and saying that it should be Ryan who's cast out. Ryan Summers should be kicked out, not me.
Right.
And Ryan shows up and says, don't worry, I've already cast myself out. And so he grabs the little...
He cast himself out of Skulls 3.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So he grabs the brand and basically brands over his Skulls logo, and just so it's blank.
Yeah.
And gives his watch back. He doesn't want to be in the Skulls. And, of course, they're like, okay, take off, Parker, take off your watch. We're going to do the same to you.
No!
And he starts freaking out. He says, you've ruined everything. And Ryan goes, no, you ruined everything. You did that to yourself. And then Parker freaks out, takes one of the branding irons and tries to go after Parker.
Why is this very odd for an ending
or
for me?
Go like, after
I
Ryan.
Felt like, because so often these movies are so pessimistic at the ending.
Yeah.
That now it's optimistic. And so I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
But I liked that.
I liked it too.
Yeah. So Parker is screaming. Of course, he's coming after him. And that same guy who tried to run them over earlier is there. He, like, judo flips Parker.
Right.
And Parker is screaming in the background as everybody's trying to hold him down so they can take his logo or take his brand away. Taft goes, Taft asks Ryan, does this complete our arrangement? So at some point, he got a hold of Taft and explained, this is what I want to happen. We got to take Parker and Hutch down. Of course, Ryan refuses to shake his hand and just leaves. As Ryan leaves, Kelly is waiting outside for him. So she asks if he wants a ride. Now, her car, I've seen
amazing.
It a few times so far. She has, it's a classic VW Bug. It's like white VW Bug.
Oh, absolutely want that car.
And it's convertible. It's beautiful. Like, that is a fantastic car. And she says, do you want a ride? And he goes, sure. And she goes, well, it's not fast, but it has character. And he says, you know what? Character is good. And then they share a kiss, and they drive off.
And you've been deuced.
The end. Yeah.
Character has, which later on, USA Networks use that for their slogan, right? Character's welcome.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So that's what we thought of the movie.
Yes.
Let's hear what other people thought of the movie, shall we?
Yes.
This person's name is Matt, so that was easy to read. Same as the first one, 3 out of 10. Wow, was this movie not worth seeing? After the first Skulls, I was excited to see the second one. What a letdown. The sequel was nearly the same storyline as the first one, except with lesser known actors. Definitely not worth the rental fees on this one. Now, what's funny about this is that he had rental fees because it was 2003. But everything else about that review is stupid. Like, really? I don't think it was the same as the first one.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Joshua Jackson overcomes whatever. Like, he sees corruption. There's this, like, is your friend going to betray you? Is it not? I mean, it's got similarities.
Similarities, but I don't think it's the same.
It's not exactly the same, no.
No.
And I don't remember necessarily all that much of the first one,
but
it's
not. How does the first one end? Do you remember? Does he, you know, bring down people or anything? I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't remember either. Yawning.
Yeah, me yawning. Yeah, that's true. Speaking of, this person gave it a 9 out of 10, said an excellent sequel to a good film. They are DOCP, and they say, I enjoyed The Skulls a good deal of an account for some charismatic acting by a number of individuals led by Paul Walker. So they actually liked Paul Walker in the first one. I was not, however, as an enjoyable film as it has been led to believe, but curiosity resulted in me watching The Skulls too. So they gave it a chance. Was I disappointed? Certainly not. This film is much better than the original. The actors are certainly no less charismatic. The plot is better, and the interplay between the characters leave the first film looking worse than it had seemed at the time. I expect that most people will dismiss this film without watching it, as a sequel to an unspectacular film does not exactly draw crowds. It would, however, be their loss if they were so. I was certainly pleased that I had seen it.
Yeah. You
9
know what
out
though?
Of 10, so that was pretty good for them.
Like,
it wasn't a 10 out of 10, but
I was not, like, I'm not impressed with the first one at all by any means.
I can't remember it. Like I told you, it was like flashy to me. It was like MTV flashy.
Kind of, yeah.
This was more rugged.
Yeah, I think so. There was a lot more scenes where it was like they were showing off the flash and like the prestige of all of this. And they did that a little bit here, but not to the same degree.
Right.
No, I think this. I think Skulls 2 is way better than Skulls 1.
I think so. I was surprised by this movie.
Yeah, I was too.
I thought it was fine. Again, I thought the... I mean, is this caliber performances? No, this is not like... It's not going to win awards. But is it enjoyable?
Yeah.
I think you should watch this.
Hell yeah. I think you should watch this.
I think you should watch the first one and then watch this one and go, oh, yeah, they're right. This is better.
Yeah.
This is what I thought Skulls 1 should have been, to tell you the truth.
I would agree.
You know what I mean?
I would agree.
I just thought it was just more flashy.
Honestly,
and they were on jet skis with tuxedos, evidently.
And I think Barry Bostwick was chasing them.
Okay, so get this. I know it's been a while because it was probably when it first came out that I saw it, but I don't really remember Skulls.
There were just a ton of movies like that.
I think I will remember this movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? I won't remember it like, hey, this is the best movie ever. It should be on a list. But I'll remember it for just being very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
That you can have. Yeah.
I agree.
I was surprised.
I agree. I was very surprised. I was reluctant
to watch this because of Skulls.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is gonna be terrible. But when
I enjoyed this a lot. Yeah. I actually did. Okay, what did you think was the best part of the movie?
Best part of the movie?
Yeah.
There was a couple. I thought the action, like you said, the action when they're in the doctor scene, when they're running around, she was macing everyone.
Yeah.
I thought that was well choreographed and well done. Yeah. Thought Robin Dunn was probably the best part was Robin Dunn.
Yeah.
Robin Dunn was also, again, he's playing another rich character, but it's a character we can like.
Yeah.
It's a character we can kind of relate to a little bit. Yeah. He's not flashy. And he's not, like, sarcastic. He's not rude. It's just a nice character.
Yeah.
It's for once he's playing this nice everyman kind of character.
Well, it's like...
I also thought I really liked the redemption of the brother.
Yeah. Too. Yes.
I'll put that in there, too. And even though it's a little small and kind of feels tacked in on the end, I enjoyed it. And I'm glad that there was a redemption for him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, and I think throughout this movie surprised me a lot because I think a lot of these things we were calling out. I remember when he met his brother on the pier and he's like, you were like, his brother's going to betray him.
I was like, he's going to betray him again, but he doesn't.
Because it's a movie. Think of movies from this time and that was just like a standard trope. It was just
he's going to get it in the end and he's not going to win.
Yeah.
It just feels like...
I kept going... She's a reporter.
Yeah, no, she's in on it.
Yeah,
I felt like Kelly was in on it. I felt the brother was still in on it.
Yeah.
Until the end when they weren't, and I was like, okay.
Yeah,
this
but
is
that
gonna
made
be.
Me feel
then
a lot better.
It started
better.
Confusing me, but in a good way confusing me. Because I wasn't used to the positive, the optimism that this movie brings in.
So, I liked Robin Dunn. Because he's good. He does a great job with what he has there, you know, and he... I think like the beginning he looked really sad.
I know.
And we were like, what is that reaction for? But throughout the whole thing, like I when he was supposed to be scared or intimidated or he was supposed to be nervous, I felt all of that.
I think
like
you
he
root
did a great
for
job.
Him. You're rooting for him.
Yes,
a lot.
I do. There was some good action stuff, but in general, I thought this was a pretty good suspense movie.
Mm-hmm.
There were some minor issues with like the plot where
it was
like
clunky. It was a little clunky.
We were like,
clunky.
What the hell is that? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, and so there's some things that were a little awkward with it, but I think it was a pretty good suspense movie. I've seen things that have come out to theaters, that were, you know, had these big budgets that were way worse off.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, very good. And that action. Like, when the coroner grabs a hold of his backpack through the elevator doors.
I wasn't expecting that.
No. Well, and I was expecting it, but I was not expecting the coroner to look so, like, psychotic
right.
when he was doing it. Like, it looked like he was out for blood. So.
Okay.
Okay, second question. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, obviously they made a Skulls 3.
Yep.
Make a Skulls musical. I'm okay. No, I'm just joking.
Here's
what I'm going to say. Don't reboot Skulls, but I really want the characters of Kelly and the characters of Ryan to continue on their own adventure. Is this thing weird to you?
Like a Nowhere Man kind of thing?
Not a Nowhere Man, but kind of in a way where they help people. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I want.
Could they be helping other victims of the skulls?
Yeah, or something like that.
So, yeah,
or
like nowhere. They're kind of on the run, but yeah, were they still doing things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want that instead.
My God, did you get a fourth category? Spinoff?
Kind of. I want that.
Yeah. I said... I said reboot as a series, but, like, I could see it going as a series, but I don't want it to be, like, a depressing series. Like, I want things to be good along the way, and maybe
right.
maybe
and
it's
that's
like
why
your thing
I don't
with, like,
think
the...
they should. I think that there's too much of the anti-hero that's yeah. out in the golden age of television that would screw with us.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't agree. But, hey, that's yeah.
your I like your idea better, though.
Yeah, I think I really when they were in their car, because I think it's some of it we don't get a lot of Kelly, and I was like, I want more of her, and I want more of their relationship because we didn't start with that relationship,
right?
We ended with it, and so I'm like, well, can we have them?
Let's what would you what would you call it?
I don't know. You know, skull. The skulls, the bones. I don't know. Don't put me on that spot. I'm calling anything.
Just asking you. Anyway.
The Done series?
Getting it done.
Getting it done. I don't know. Scullies?
Scullies.
I don't know.
The Order.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I think that's a movie.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Does this stand on its own?
I think so.
I think it does. Yeah, because
there's
really
nothing. Because again, I didn't remember anything for the first movie.
Well, even if
the only thing I remembered was that ATM scene.
Well, and that wasn't even in this,
right?
So even if the reporter was tied to the first one,
which I don't even think it is, but it might be.
Yeah, even if it was,
but even if it does, they explain it very well.
Yeah, like you don't need to understand.
I think it holds on its own.
I think it definitely stands on its own. Well,
skip the first one. Watch this.
Yeah,
one
I recommend skipping the first one and just going with this.
Watch Fringe instead.
Yeah,
which the director of this movie. Directed Fringe episodes. He directs a bunch of Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago
nice.
Stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell he's very good with his direction.
Yeah.
Does it make you want to watch the first movie?
No.
Yeah. I think no for me because I know that I'm just going to be disappointed in comparison.
I don't know. There just seems to... The feel of the movies seem different to me.
Well, and I think back to, like,
this
watching...
This has more of, like, where we see more of the campus and more of the town, I think, maybe. And that makes me feel more college-related instead of skulls-related in the first one.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I think I would just be disappointed.
Yeah,
like
whatever.
Okay, last question. Two words.
I put worthy thriller.
Yeah. I agree. I put power corrupts.
Okay, sure.
Because it's, you know, you see all these characters where they were corrupted by the power, but only when they, like, kind of went away from that, they came out. Like, the brother came out in the end clean. He actually walks up, like, in, like, almost like a white suit at the end, or, like, a white jacket or whatever. Like, he's free of all that. You know, you see Kelly and Ryan... being fine. They ride off in the white horse on
I would call
car.
It crossbones. Crossbones.
Crossbones?
Crossbones, because like crossroads, but
yeah.
crossbones. I just got it in my head.
Yeah,
like
I can
crossbones.
Do that. I can do that.
I like, yeah. Spin it off, call it crossbones.
Yeah.
Get on it, Robin Dunn. Boat ya. What do we got going on?
What's that?
What's our next episode?
So our next episode is the final in our Robin Dunn series.
Oh, the final.
Ooh. American Psycho 2.
Oh, it is our...
it's our crossover event.
Crossover episode.
It's our first crossover event.
Darren with the psychosomatic.
Yep, Darren with the psychosomatic... good lord. Psychosemantic podcast. So we are really excited about that. He's with the Legion podcast, or the Legion Network of Podcasts. Friend of the show, he's commented. He's the one who created our Teenage Mutant Ninja Urkels picture
right.
On our Facebook page. So we're really excited to work with him. Now, if you go to his podcast, it should be coming out this week.
Yeah, a couple days.
In a few days. He'll have he's going to have American Psycho 1, where we go and talk on his show.
Yeah.
And then
we try to, at least.
Yeah. And then on ours, we're going to have American Psycho 2, where he comes and talks with
us. We tortured him. We made him watch American Psycho 2.
So
and did a bunch of Jackie jokes from that 70 show.
Yeah.
Before we go, big shout out to Tom and Jim from Tom and Jim's Top 5. We got interviewed by them and it went off pretty well, we thought.
Yeah.
So we thank them.
Yeah, thank once you again for giving us a platform to talk about sequels.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
We hope to have them on soon.
Yep. So after the Robin Dunn series, I know you're all wondering what comes next because you can hardly remember a time when we weren't talking about Robin Dunn.
Right. When, I mean, come on.
I actually can't. Like, I'm like, good Lord, did we do things before this?
How many Robin Dunn movies do we? We're actually not going to do any more movies. We're just doing that show, Sanctuary. Wasn't he on Sanctuary?
I think so.
We're going to do that.
Dawson's Creek?
No, he was on Sanctuary.
He was in Dawson's Creek, too.
Yeah, well, a couple episodes.
He was. Josh, wasn't he Joshua Jackson's roommate?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Something.
The college years, whatever.
Yeah, something.
Go ahead.
And then he was replaced Joshua Jackson. Anyway, we have some Halloween stuff coming up.
We do.
Yeah.
Oh my God, are we going to go all werewolf on people?
Yes, we are doing a werewolf run on in the month of October.
So if you're sick of Robin Dunn, you're going to get sick of werewolves.
Yeah.
Of my werewolf jokes.
But we're varying it up.
Things are about to get hairy. So what are we going to do for that?
Things are going to be hairy.
Yeah, well.
I guess it's not boob jokes.
I'm done with the boob jokes. Tits McGee was in that movie, wasn't she? She played Diana. Tits McGee.
That's her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in
what are we doing next? Werewolves.
So we're doing werewolves. Some exciting
Teen
things
Wolf?
Coming up.
Teen Wolf 2.
So we have Teen Wolf 2. We will have American Werewolf in Paris,
which I'm so happy about.
You are welcome.
I am so happy that we get to talk about bungee cord jumping.
Oh my God. So let me tell you, I love American Werewolf in London. So this is really hard for me. I have really tried to stay away from it.
American Werewolf in
Paris? Yeah.
I can't wait for it.
Teen Wolf 2. We're going to do a crossover, another crossover episode.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
We're trying to get set up here and trying to get done with our friends over at Cinema PsyOps. They're going to do The Howling. And we have The Howling 2, Your Sister's a Werewolf.
Which I've never seen any of these movies.
Well, we will.
I can't wait.
You'll enjoy. Ginger Snaps 2, Unleashed. Which, personally, I like the Ginger Snaps series. I think they're underrated.
Mm-hmm. Can I Ginger Snaps while we're watching that one?
Oh, I hope you do. Actually, I did that before.
Did you?
I was in the mood. I was like, Ginger Snaps. I wanted to eat Ginger Snaps. So then I went and bought Ginger Snaps. When I came home, I was like, I'm going to watch Ginger Snaps while I eat this. So
Ginger Snaps is not a sponsor of the Deuce. Maybe the HBO series, but not this. Go ahead.
And then Frankenstein versus the Wolfman.
Oh, yeah. Frankenstein versus the Wolfman. Thought we'd throw in an old one, right?
Yeah. So, and that's actually, it's a sequel to the first Wolfman movie back in the day, the Universal Wolfman
movies.
There
you go. But where can people find these episodes when they do come out, Jeremy?
So where you will be able to find these, so you can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can find us on Stitcher, on iTunes, and Google Play Music. Or you can go to our Facebook page, and we'll post things there. Plus, if you go to our Facebook page, join up. We ask for, ask a lot of questions. We talk about
donations.
Things there. Yeah, we toss around ideas. We have not asked for donations.
So where can people find us? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Did you say that already?
Well, I did.
Oh, okay.
Thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Okay, yeah. Where is it? Okay, that place too. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Definitely go check it out.
Yeah. So that concludes. We have one more episode.
We have one more in the Dunn series.
The Dunn series, and then we'll be done. But that concludes episode 25. So remember, folks, that the sequel is king.
as we left it. Tiger lilies in a row, blow them down when summer's old, and I remember you. Wake us up, don't let us go, fill our heads with stories and of life as we left it. Should the hand reach 12 o'clock, and I'm pretending that it's not too late to hold you one more time. And I believed in you, and you believed in me, and easy was the way to love we shared. And I believed in you, and you believed in me, and easy was the way we let it go. If half the world is saved and half gets washed away, I'll meet you where the mountains turn to heaven. If half the world is saved and half gets washed away, I'll meet you where the mountains turn to heaven. Tripping into swimming pools, speaking languages we learn to use to each other.